So I'm starting a sermon series going through 1 Corinthians, and I'll probably go through 2 Corinthians. I don't know that. And this morning, the theme is 1 Corinthians shows God's love work. Let's pray. Father, please, I want to be used by you to preach properly. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. And this is what 1 Corinthians is about, teaching us. It was written about 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead by Paul the Apostle. And the setting is the blossoming church of Corinth, which is a sinful city society, if you can think of it that way. And the Apostle Paul, he had reached Corinth with the gospel, ministered there for about a year and a half, and then he went down to a city called Ephesus. And in Ephesus, he was informed of problems that were brewing in Corinth. And 1 Corinthians is this letter, we call it an epistle, and it addresses those problems. And that Roman city, Corinth, it was known to be very trendy. It was known to be a vibrant city, and historians say it was the most dazzling and modern of all the Roman cities. But underneath the dazzle, there was a disease in its heart, and it infected everything. And the same problem confronts you and me every single day. It's sin. And it's sin in all sorts of packages, from a sick culture that's just trying to act like it's a picture of health, but it's not. And the Christians in Corinth, they were new Christians. They were delivered from bondage to sin as master owner. That's what happens in salvation, happens to you. Delivered from bondage to sin, bondage as master owner. But, though free, sin's influence was imprinted into their lives and would come out in tendencies to keep living in certain bad ways of the culture. Same kind of thing we face. And basically, those are the ways of the old slavery to sin. Not slaves, but sometimes they want to go back to those ways. And we all know how this is. With them, rampant sexual sin was a problem. Prostitution was considered normal. Generations earlier, Corinth had a temple with thousands of prostitutes. This new Corinth was built on the ruins. It was built by slaves that were let free across the land. They rebuilt Corinth. And so they have a lot of issues from their background, pride issues and ambition issues. And they even had issues with this prostitution. It was evidently rebuilt into the foundation. It was a routine of daily cultural life. And aside from prostitution, immorality of every conceivable kind was not only practiced, but it was accepted. Sound familiar? And though spiritually saved, pursuing immoral encounters was common. Corinthian-like speaks to the sexual immorality accepted and even celebrated in our own culture. You see it all over in movies, on the computer, just the way people act. Culture. Culture rejects what God says about sexual practices. He identifies as sin. Sex outside of marriage is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Adultery is sin. But Christians get hammered by culture's influence on how common and accepted it wants sin things to be. Now, we need to listen to the voice of 1 Corinthians by the Spirit as it confronts the sin and the error head on. Now, the Christians there were all beset with spiritual, doctrinal, and relationship issues. All kinds of disunity things that God doesn't want. Things that we sadly find in Christianity also today. Envy and pride was a problem. Unforgiveness was a problem. Unloving attitudes were a problem. Hurts the body of Christ. It impedes the work of the Lord. It stifles the Holy Spirit. Folks, these things are bad. Stops the manifestation of Christ in you. And it not only grieves the Holy Spirit in your life, but it can damage the church. It can damage this church if you should allow yourself to foster bad attitudes. And 1 Corinthians says, look for it in yourself. It's a tool of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians. Make sure that no envy, pride, unforgiveness issues come from you. No matter who you are, you need to deal with it biblically. Always seek to manifest Christian love in everything. You're going to find that all through 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has the love chapter. It's just the pinnacle thing, love. Another thing about Corinth is that it was a carnival of false religions. The Corinthians had dozens of false gods to choose from. They had temples all over the city. Each one was dedicated to a different god. And so in a way, we can relate from secular humanism to Islam, Hinduism, witchcraft, so much more. The same problem is all around us. And so we've got to be very careful not to let the existence of those things cloud our own thinking. Now, there were also Jews in Corinth. And Paul began his ministry work by going to the Jewish synagogue. That was his practice everywhere he went. He would go to the synagogue first to preach the gospel. There were Jewish synagogues dotted all over the Roman Empire, all around. And many of the first converts to Christianity in Corinth were Jews. Paul was Jewish. And there were already a few Jews there who had become Christians. And there were two, Aquila and his wife Priscilla. They became part of Paul's ministry team. But many Jews in Corinth rejected Jesus, and they led people against Christianity. They persecuted Christians. Now, we see Jews rejecting Christ, the Messiah, in our day too. But a remnant receive, and they believe today, just like back then. And what we hope, what we pray, is for a spiritual awakening among more and more Jews. That was the prayer of Paul the Apostle that we find in Romans. And there, even though they rejected Jesus, God uses their rejection for a spiritual awakening. Acts 18 tells us that Paul taught in the local synagogue regularly, and when the Jews resisted, it says, Paul told them this, "Your blood is on your heads, I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles, to non-Jews." And then he went to a Gentile's house right next door to the synagogue. And yet, that Jewish synagogue leader from the synagogue next door also believed in Christ Jesus. So did his whole household. So all those people, Jews and Gentiles, became part of the church that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians that we're studying. He wrote this to them. Now, Corinth also had a lot of wealthy people. And they were wealthy, bringing themselves into wealth from those roots that I'm talking about. And because of their background, they became snobs. And the poor that were there were treated very badly. One ancient writer from around the same time said this, "I learned in a short time the nauseating behavior of the rich and the misery of the poor of Corinth." One man said the problem was not that the church was in Corinth, but too much of Corinth was in the church. Never think that the sinful things of the culture will not influence your life. If you're not seeking God's word to direct your life, if you're not accountable, then any of these descriptions can be you, can be any of us. And so it's not that you're in the sinful world, because we're all in the world, but too much of the sinful aspects of the world can be in you. And this makes 1 Corinthians so pertinent for us, for all of us. Now, there's also this. After Paul left Corinth, the Christians seemed frozen in immaturity. They weren't growing spiritually. They weren't maturing. They weren't being stable. 1 Corinthians is a call for us to grow, to be spiritually mature, to be stable. We're going to see the results in their own lives. And so in their lives, like someone needing physical therapy, they needed spiritual therapy. Paul is God's spiritual doctor, and he's moved by the Spirit for the job. He writes this. 1 Corinthians is the coaching tool of God for all these things, for pinpointing stunted spiritual growth in you, for pinpointing weaknesses that need fixing. So look to it for rehabilitating what's bruised, what's broken, what's backwards. It's pure wisdom for building you up with what God wants. This is an epistle given to us by the Holy Spirit. Use it by the Spirit. And so as I preach through it over the coming months, look to God to do this with you. Even now, even this morning. Now I'm going to read Paul's introduction. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 2. Paul says this, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the determination of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been set apart in Christ Jesus, set apart ones by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Amazing introduction. There's so much there, and I'm going to unpack it. And so, looking to be built up, we see Paul's introduction, and I want to point out a main point here. God is always actively in moment-to-moment love work with you. So when I say that to you, say this about yourself. God is always actively in moment-to-moment love working. He's in love work with me, about yourself. And you need to know this, and you should know this as a fact in all things. And one reason is because you realize you're not perfect. And you know God sees every mistake you make, and he's there every single time you sin. And God sees the evidence then of the imperfection that is with you. And you know you can't hide it. And so you should know that God calls you an imperfect person to be in his grace because of his love, and he keeps you in his love. And he loves you knowing that you're never going to be perfect in yourself. And in his love, he sets you apart to be his by grace through faith, no matter what. This truth is woven into Paul's introduction. And so also, Paul mentions a guy named Sosthenes. Paul and that man, they're both examples of God's love work with imperfect people. Very good examples. Sosthenes was a leader in the Jewish synagogue. Paul led him to Christ. One day, Jews rioted against Paul. They drugged Sosthenes out of the synagogue and they beat him. And when Paul left Corinth, Sosthenes followed him. And they ended up in Ephesus, where 1 Corinthians was written. And so Paul calls Sosthenes our brother. He says, Sosthenes, our brother. That describes your family relationship in Christ. God, in his love, adopted imperfect people, making all of us into his children in perfect Christ Jesus. So God is your loving father in this relationship of being his child, being a brother and sister. He is the loving father in all this. And you, me, we all exist in a family relationship with God in Christ Jesus. And this means you must trust that God is the most loving father, and he really does care for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he always listens to you with care. And you know his love is with you. You need to believe it and trust him. Paul's life shows you that this is a true relationship. Paul said this, God called him out of being a Christ hater to be commissioned as an apostle for the cause of Christ. And he says it was God's will. It's God's determination. So the same Father called all of us brothers and sisters, called you out of this world of lostness. In his love, he transformed you for his purposes. And here's the thing. He knows you're not going to do everything perfectly. And he knows what you need to do. You need to rely on him. And he also knows his plan for you. You are in his will. And he gives us 1 Corinthians to understand his will. And in Romans, Paul said he was called to be an apostle for others to believe the gospel. So it's a call. He also said that we're all called of Jesus Christ, called as set apart ones. He says you're a vessel of mercy whom God called. And here Paul says you are called into fellowship with Jesus. And to get you into that fellowship, God mercifully put the perfection of his son in you. And that, him putting the perfection of his son in you, is the way he sees his life in you. It's the way he sees you. And so that's how he knows you now. He doesn't know the lost you. He spiritually crucified the old lost you with Christ. Now God sees you as perfect, the resurrected you in Christ covenantally with Christ in you spiritually. And now you exist each moment in fellowship with Jesus and the Father. You never lose being in fellowship with God. We're going to see so much more of this in 1 Corinthians. And so continuing to look at Paul, the writer of 1 Corinthians, understand that his apostolic calling was unique. He calls himself an apostle. The primary apostles were commissioned by the Lord to be his foundation-laying missionaries to establish the church. You remember Judas? Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. He's one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He would have become an apostle, but he betrayed Jesus, and then he committed suicide. Judas was replaced by Matthias, who became an apostle. And then God later chose Paul to be an apostle. An apostle means this, one who is sent out. Those apostles were sent out by the Lord himself. And Paul's special apostleship was to the Gentiles, which are people that are in the city of Corinth. Corinth was full of Gentiles. And Paul said in Galatians 1, God set him apart from his mother's womb. Now, it's a picture of God's work in all of our lives from very early on. He set you apart from your mother's womb. But then Paul said God called him through his grace. And again, it's a picture of God with you. But with Paul, he also said this, it was for God to reveal his son in Paul to preach Christ among the Gentiles. The Gentiles. Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles. And in this, God's love and grace is working before you may even recognize it. If you notice, called me from my mother's womb. With Paul, it was demonstrated in his life even while he was a Christ-hating, Pharisaic Jew. God was always knowing that Paul was imperfect, even when it says he called him from his mother's womb. God knew that Paul needed the kind of perfection that only God could put in Paul. And God knew he wanted Gentiles to receive the same grace. And God knows the same thing about you and about Carrie. And so the perfection you need was only fulfilled by one man, Jesus, the one family member that imparts that perfection to the other family members. And to share that perfection then, the Father puts the life of Christ Jesus in you by grace through faith. And now God knows you as perfection, not your own, but his own. Why? Because you are God's work. You are God's work. He makes his bride. And so that family connection with him is amazing. And salvation means you inherit the most important family trait of all, the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Paul's also a showcase illustration of this, Paul the Apostle. And we think about his whole life. He was commissioned to take the message to the Gentiles, but Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, this is what he said, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul said this, I, Paul, am the foremost sinner of all. But then he said he received mercy from the Lord. And listen to this. He said he received it so that in himself, the foremost sinner, Jesus would display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for everlasting life. And that's you. So always look at God's showcase illustration. Look at Paul. And Jesus displays his perfect patience with the chief of sinners so that you'll know that you, as a sinner, exist each second in the patience and the love of God. Since you trusted God with his love for salvation, trust God with his love for you at all times. You know, no matter how much you're messing up, he still sees you as his love work. Why? Because he sees his son in you. And his son in you and his love work also compels you to learn from his word, like 1 Corinthians, to have it direct your life on the right path. Now, maybe you didn't think of yourself this way, but Scripture says you really are like this. You really are like Paul. God foreknew you from your mother's womb, and he always knew you were a sinner, and he knew that to save you in his love, he would forgive you of all your sins. God knows everyone is like Paul, desperately in need of God's love and grace at every single moment. And God has never been surprised by your mistakes. Never. Not before, but not after you were saved. God's never surprised by your sin. Mistakes and sin are the legacy of the Corinthian Christians. That is pretty much their legacy. And you're going to find this out. The Corinthians are the Spirit's showcased example of mistake makers, of Christians who sinned and messed up and messed up. But here's the thing. They were embarrassingly so much like the spiritually lost world, you could hardly tell the difference. But God knows everything. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. And he always knew that he would continue with those people, continue with you, all Christians in grace. He always knew that he would forgive you no matter what. And with Paul, God's plan started taking shape when he, known as Saul, was on the road to Damascus. He wasn't saved yet. And at that time, he was actually in complete opposition to Christ Jesus. Paul was lost in his sins. And he's on his way to round up Christians to be imprisoned, to be killed. And we look at Paul. Paul was religious, just like a lot of people today. But he was also spiritually lost, religious but lost, like a lot of people today. He hated Jesus. He hated Jesus' people. But God intervened at that exact moment while he's on the hunt. God intervened in his amazing grace and in a display of God's active love work right in the middle of hating Jesus. Paul's transformed spiritually. Resurrected Jesus personally confronted Paul and then commissioned Paul to be an apostle and an apostle to the Gentiles. So are you getting God's message to you with Paul? Take this in. He is an example. God intervenes in your life with his amazing love. And like Paul and Sosthenes and the Corinthians, God called you knowing exactly what you are, and he knows what you are now. Now, later in chapter 6, Paul says you are washed by the blood, set apart by and in Christ Jesus, declared righteous in his name in the Holy Spirit of our God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin on your behalf so that you are the righteousness of God in him. God knows that you are his love in action. You need to know it too. And you see it in Paul saying he wrote this to the church of God, which is at Corinth. The church of God. Church is ekklesia in the Greek. Now, I know I'm bringing up Greek and stuff, but it's an ancient word that became known as those who are called out and gathered. And it's important to understand the New Testament writer's deep meaning for this word, church. When you think like they were thinking, you understand that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to the called out and gathered of God, which were in Corinth. And Paul also says something else. It is to those who have been set apart in Christ Jesus, set apart ones by calling. Now, the wording is important for understanding your own relationship with God and his love work with you. Like them, you are the called out and gathered of God in Christ Jesus, and also set apart in Christ Jesus, set apart ones, you're set apart one by calling. So when you think of a church or the church biblically, it can be describing the church in a location as a committed group of Christians who regularly meet as a community, fellowshipping in the Spirit. That's like right now. That's us. And this is why places like Acts 18:7 mention the church in Corinth, saying that the church met in the home of the man who lived next door to the Jewish synagogue. Well, they met as a community. God's called out and gathered people in that location. And they did this, by the way, back then in all kinds of places. In fact, instead of using the synagogues for Judaism, sometimes early church groups would use them for the church meetings. But in Corinth, the rejecting Jews would not allow this in their synagogue. So the church just met next door. When it comes to the wider church, like someone saying, the church in our day, it means all Christians everywhere. And you're part of that too. We all are. But in terms of location, what we are, like here right now, reflects the church as an assembly of true God worshipers in Christ, like the one that met next door to the Corinthian synagogue. Now, when Paul said, I'm writing to those who have been set apart in Christ Jesus, it's good to know that there are various terms for that too, being set apart. Being set apart is translated, the exact same word, hagios, is translated as sanctified. Sometimes it's translated as consecrated. Sometimes it's translated as holy. It's all the same Greek word. It means set apart. A saint is someone who has been set apart. And this is just another way of describing Christians. So all of this is you, someone who has been called out and set apart by God in spiritual salvation. And the lives of those messed up Corinthians tell us something about being set apart by God. I'm getting back to this, you still purposely do wrong things. And it shows that Christians are not always consistently victorious over sin actions. And what it shows goes for everyone through all history, not just the Corinthians. And so Paul realized the essence of discipleship, teaching, and preaching. It's patient work to urge God's people to get on the right path, to keep us on the right path, to give us truth, something to grab onto that's foundational, truth. And this is what we're going to get over and over and over again in the next 16 chapters. Every time a sin issue is addressed by Paul, those brothers and sisters are urged to get back on the right path. He actually tells them what their path is, to get things right, do it right, walk in what you know. And you're going to get the revelations of what they know. And the same grace that saves, very important, same grace that keeps working with you in all your life. This is something that Paul lays out to the Corinthians as he corrects them, he rebukes them, he admonishes them, but he keeps bringing them back to grace as he keeps bringing them back to the urging to get on track. And this is the thing. It's why you should never think that you're better as a Christian than other Christians. Don't ever do that. Ever do that. You may be spiritually mature. You might even be more disciplined, but you're not better. None of us are better. But here's the thing that we all are. We're all dependent. We're all dependent. You really do depend on God's continuous grace and love at every single moment. Paul says in chapter 6 that you were washed, you were, it's all past tense, set apart, and then it says this, you were already declared righteous by God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. It's all him. It's all him. And so whether you think you're a spiritual giant of holy living or you think you're nothing but a failure, understand, you're like all the Corinthian Christians. You're like all Christians everywhere. You're called out. You're set apart. You're already declared righteous by God in Christ by him. And his grace is what is working in you right now. His power is what enables you to express the life of his Spirit. And he's given you 1 Corinthians as a power guide. It's God's word. So think of it this way. It helps all of us to understand all kinds of our areas that we need to know about our relationships and doctrine and what to do and how to handle things. And it all has to do with our relationship with the Father. And because you're set apart by the Father, it also urges you to set yourself apart to conform your actions to his life in you. He really wants us to seek to manifest his Son, Jesus. And it shows that someday, when your future departing from this world comes, it's going to be another setting apart. Which one's it going to be? It's going to be the ultimate one. You're going to leave this world behind. And you're going to be with the Lord forever in a super body. That's what we get in 1 Corinthians 15. It's as an existence of pure perfection with no more sin, with no more potential for sin, no more death. You know, you're going to see all of us there. You're going to see the Corinthian Christians there. Chapter 15 tells you this. It says, you will be raised in power. And Paul introduces a detail here in the introduction and how all this love work of God is applied to the world in God's free offer. Everything we're talking about, Paul said all this applies to all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all this applies that we're looking to everyone. All this grace love. All this urging. So God calls people and he saves them when they call on Jesus Christ for salvation. This is why, by the way, getting the gospel out is so important. When people hear the good news of Christ, the sacrifice for sin, his resurrection from dead, salvation through God's grace, and then they receive it in faith, God's love work works in them, and they become part of all this great plan too. Amen? And so my urging to you is to absorb God's gift of 1 Corinthians. Look forward to exploring deep insights of the Spirit, insights to be applied. Look at all those brothers and sisters in Corinth as kind of a mirroring, timeless connection with you, with us today. In a very real sense, we are them, and they are us, in the sense of this connection of the church through time. And look for their situations to speak directly into your own life. Use 1 Corinthians to speak truth into the lives of others. It's God's word. Use it as a solid guide for walking in alignment with truth, even though others, they just want to go a different way. Amen? Let's do it.